Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome into another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. I am your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He is the Stevie to my Kenny Powers. He's Tark Elbashir. Tark?
You've used Kenny Powers before.
Have I?
Yeah, you're starting to get redundant now. Yeah, man.
I've lost track. You're running out of material. I've lost track of all the ones I do. Anyway, what we will talk about today, we're going to talk about the struggles of returning from the bye week. We will hear my interview with Brett Connolly, and we will talk about the player the Caps absolutely need more from. First, let's start with the bye week. The Caps have lost three straight after the bye and are trying to get back on track. You may not think that a bye week would be a bad thing for a team's momentum, but Barry Trotz explained in practice why it's harder to return to the ice than you may think.
Last couple of years with the breaks and that, you understand that it's not just, hey, you know, you had a break, that you should be fresh, you go on the ice. Unless you've played the game, it's hard to explain to people. You got to get it ramped up. You lose a little bit of that edge, a little bit of that, you know, the sharpness. You lose a little bit of everything, and then when it's over 20 guys, then you know all of a sudden it's difficult. I think everybody likes routine. I think we're better with routine. I think when you don't have that routine, you lose focus, because it's, you know, you're like, okay, we don't play for 5 days, and you sort of shut it down a little bit. Not that you guys don't work or whatever, but you lose that whatever edge that you generally have, and when you're playing every day, you're in the mode, you know. The guys will tell you when you're playing every second day and you're fairly fresh, you know, the equipment doesn't feel like it's 40 pounds, you know. When you come off a break and you've been in the Bahamas for 3 days and you put the equipment on, it feels like it's 80 pounds, not, you know, 40.
Tark, the Caps are struggling and have another break looming with the All-Star break. What do the Caps need to do to get back on track?
You know, struggling, sure. Scuffling is probably a little more accurate, you know, given the fact that I do subscribe to the theory that it is harder to get back into the flow when you've missed so many games. And they did have that missed practice. I mean, it really was like trying to catch a speeding train while running down the tracks. I mean, it's not that easy. I know fans, you know, think of that stuff as excuses, but it's reality. You know, and as Trotz just said there, it's like when you come back from a two-week vacation and you got a mountain of work on your desk waiting for you on that Monday morning. You might not get to it till after lunch. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that just kind of it's hard to get right back up to speed. Remember, they did gain 2 points in these losses, so sure they are L's at the end of the day, but they're O's too. You know, they're overtime losses. They gained a point in two of the three games. There were simply a breakdown, one shift into the crapshoot known as a 3-on-3 overtime that gave the opposing team a point. Not overly concerned, but there are some areas where they've got to get better. You know, specialty teams was something that we've talked about going into the bye week. That's something that still needs to get a little better, a little more consistent. And most importantly, I would say the big guns, with the exception of Alex Ovechkin, need to get going. I want to see a little more production from Backstrom. I want to see a lot more production from Kuznetsov and from Oshie. You know, these are guys who get a lot of time on the power play. They get a lot of time at even strength. They got to use that time more effectively and simply produce more.
I think when people hear bye week, a lot of people think of the NFL, but The NHL's bye week is different in that these guys aren't playing hockey at all.
Right.
They don't have a week of practice before their next game. They are out. They are not on the ice. And the Capitals practice.
They're prohibited by the CBA. There is a certain like hour when you can come back right. and start practicing. I think it was 4 o'clock.
It was 4 o'clock.
and
then it worked out that they had to cancel that practice.
They had plane trouble. Sure.
So, and that affects the team a lot. Of the three losses, they didn't play great in any of them, but there was only really one bad game, and that was the game against Montreal. That was the only one where you watched and said, okay, this is a bad game.
That was a clunker. I thought we saw more effort and passion and focus in the Philadelphia game. I know they hope that carries over after another little break here into the Florida game because as Tom Wilson told us in the dressing room a little while ago, when you come back from the All-Star break, the 3-day break, it's a sprint to the finish.
Right.
And, you know, the league gets more difficult every 20 games with 20-game increments. And, you know, the Caps are in the catbird seat right now, but those teams that are behind them aren't far behind them, and they're going to start feeling that level of desperation rise. And they're gonna have to bring their level up as well. I think they will. They've been good in the stretch run under Barry Trotz, and I don't think that's gonna change.
All right, a little bit of a loaded question here. The Caps have struggled a little bit on offense, and there's been a lot of hand wringing over their offense, especially because of the shots. They have the fewest amount of shots in the league per game. Are a lot of their players just on a cold streak, or is the offense regressing to the means that their shot and shot attempts show that they should be producing at?
I think there's a little bit of both. I think they are regressing to the mean. I think they did overachieve to a certain extent in the first half of the season. There were some guys with some off-the-charts shooting percentages. You knew that was going to come back down to earth a little bit. That said, you don't need a huge volume of shots to score goals. If you have more talent than other players, and I think the Capitals have that, especially in their top six, you can get away with, and they have done by design, they have stopped with just funneling pucks to the net in the hopes that something bounces off something and goes in. They are being more selective with their shots. That's something that goaltending coach Scott Murray has brought to this group. That's something that he researched through his career, and when he became goaltending coach, it's something that he has shared in meetings and with players individually, and it's something that they are doing intentionally. I mean, like, you never want to be last in anything.
Right.
But not getting 34 shots a game is not what's holding their offense back right now. And also, you know, if you look at the teams that are at the top of the charts in shots, they aren't very good. You know, the best teams are somewhere in the middle.
Right.
There are some bad teams at the bottom too, but getting 35 shots a game does not correlate necessarily to goals. If you're the Capitals, you want your goals per game to be around that magic number of 3 per game. And I think right now, if memory serves, they're 2.98. I think they're 11th in the league, so they're right there.
Right.
If they can just get that to 3, I think they'll be in good shape.
Interesting stuff there. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsor, and when we return, we will listen to the conversation I had with Brett Connolly. I am here with Brett Connolly. Brett, you are one of the hottest scorers on this team right now with 5 goals in the last 10 games, including 2 late game-tying goals. I imagine you're a player playing with a lot of confidence right now. How does that help as a goal scorer?
I think for anybody who, you know, is trying to create offense, I think when you're confident, you're feeling good about your game and you're not thinking, I think that's when you kind of get on a roll. And you ask anybody, when you're confident, you're playing with boys and you're hanging onto the pucks and making good plays. You know, it definitely makes it a lot easier when you're confident, for sure.
You're also playing with the other hottest shooter on the team, and Lars Eller. Have you seen him elevate his game lately?
I think he's just, he's a guy who works extremely hard, and he's passionate about, you know, the way he plays. And when he's not playing well, he does whatever it takes to, you know, get his game back going. So he's playing really well right now, and you know, he's definitely a guy who's helped me. And you know, we've gained some pretty good chemistry. Just knowing where each other are on the ice, so you know he's been playing really well in the last month and a half, and we're just looking to keep going and have that good feeling, and hopefully we can ride this out as long as we can.
Let's go back to when you first came to DC. You came in, traded by Tampa, not qualified by Boston. What was your mindset when you signed with Washington for that season?
I just think coming in here and just proving myself and trying to have a good season. Like every year, I think you kind of, you know, have the same mindset every year. You want to have a good year. You want to create offense. You want to score, especially for myself. So just kind of came in here and worked hard and, you know, did what the coaches told me. And, you know, I was patient. It didn't happen right away for me. I just tried to stick with it and work hard every day. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to, you know, have some good stretches of good play last year during the season. So, you know, it's been a good fit for me so far here, and I'm looking to just keep going and keep doing what I've been doing, and everything else will take care of itself.
One thing you talked about a little bit last week when you started this hot streak was that sometimes it takes players a little bit longer to adjust to the NHL, to become NHL players. What was it that you struggled with when you first came into the league that you needed to adjust that you've done now?
I came in at 19, so I think just maturity. I think you get a little bigger, stronger, you get a little more comfortable with the league. You know, I think you just want to try and find your niche with the team and find your role. I think if you can, I think in Tampa, kind of, we had so many good players, and then, you know, I was kind of a guy that was kind of expendable. They could afford to, you know, give me away, and then for whatever reason, Boston just didn't have the plans, and you know, I came here and just felt really comfortable right away. You know, I think my game, you know, really picked up last year, kind of on its way to, you know, where I know that I can play, and, you know, it's just a matter of sticking with it, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen right away. There's a lot of guys who takes a little bit of time, and it's taken me a little bit of time to kind of find my role on a team, and, you know, three teams later, I'm here, and, you know, I feel like I'm a good fit here, and I'm having a lot of fun playing, and I've kind of just relaxed out there and playing comfortable, and it makes it a lot easier for sure.
Right before this recent hot streak, you were actually supposed to be a healthy scratch. Then Andre Burakovsky got sick, and you ended up staying in the lineup. Did there's a lot of roster competition in the bottom six right now. Did knowing that you were about to be a healthy scratch sort of motivate you to push your play a little bit?
I don't think so. I think even before that, I was scoring. So I think it was just a coach's decision. There was a rotation going on, and I think when I was scratched earlier in the year, after I got back from my concussion, I think that's kind of when I knew that I needed to figure my game out and get it going a little bit. And you know, you really try and focus on your little details and bearing down on your scoring chances. I think that was kind of the scratch that kind of motivated me a little bit. But I think the one you were talking about, just it's kind of a rotational thing. I don't think it was anything wrong with the way I was playing. I think it was just a coach's decision, and then that certain night he decided to, you know, Berkey was coming back and he wanted to get him in the lineup. So it's just one of those things for sure.
Three straight losses out of the bye. Now you got the All-Star break looming. What does the team need to do to get out of this funk, and what does the team need to do better out of the next break?
I think we just need to get back to playing the way we know we can play, playing with confidence. I think it was good to get a couple good hard practices before the next game. I think we've gone long periods of time here without practices. We've been having the break and then back-to-backs, a lot of morning skates only, and you know, it's nice to have a full practice, a couple full practices here before the one game and then the break. But I think we just need to, you know, maybe look after ourselves a little bit here in the break. We just got off a break, so, you know, you just look after yourself and try and be as ready as possible when we get back, and, you know, heal any injuries that guys have and get ready for the final push here. It's going to be tight right to the end. We know that. It's going to be a fight. A lot of teams are playing good hockey in our division right now, so we're going to need to definitely play better than we played the last three, but, you know, kind of get back to where we were before that.
That's Brett Connolly. Thanks for hopping on.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Brett Connolly for hopping on the podcast. Tarek, what have your thoughts been on Brett Connolly's season so far?
I'm always amazed with guys like Brett Connolly who don't play a lot of time on specialty teams. You know, I mean, he's on the second unit power play, but that doesn't get out there that much. Now they're on the PK. So he's on the bench for long stretches, but he still manages to be Johnny on the spot. When that puck is on his stick and he's in the middle of the ice, that puck is probably going in the net. He's going to get one good chance per game, and he's going to score what, once every four games or so. So I mean, that's a pretty good spot for him. I mean, he's kind of found his role. I think that he came into the season. He told me at the outset of the season that he wanted to get to that 20 goal plateau, which, you know, is the kind of the separator between good forwards and kind of everyone else. If you can get to 20, you're good. You get to 28, you're very good. You get to the 30, you're an elite player in this league. And if he can get to 20 goals, and he's definitely on pace for that, the Capitals found themselves a diamond in the rough when they, you know, found him on the reclamation pile. You know, I mean, he was basically told by the Boston Bruins, thanks, but no thanks.
Yep. Not even offered a qualifying offer.
Something they probably regret right now.
Right.
I mean, didn't play a whole lot last year, was in and out of the lineup, still ended up with 15 goals. This season had a concussion, you know, and I think he said it was the first one of his career, so it took him a little while to kind of find his legs again. And look at him now. I mean, when I look at the guys who are kind of carrying this team, it's not the guys you would think. I mean, Eller has been helping this team more than you would have expected. Connolly is, Tom Wilson earlier on in the season was, Ovechkin's having a huge year. If they can just get those other, big guys, you know, Oshies and Kuznetsovs and Backstroms, and Backstrom's having a decent year, but you know, there's more there. You can get those You can get those guys involved and get them contributing on a consistent basis, and you keep the Connollys of the world chipping in every four games. Pretty good team.
All right, Tarik, we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to talk about the player that the Capitals absolutely need more from. Welcome back. Tarik, we talked a lot about players like Andrei Burakovsky and Jacob Vrana who are struggling of late, but there's one player the team absolutely needs more from, and that player is Evgeny Kuznetsov. He may have 4 points in the last six games, but it feels like he's had a minimal impact in those games, and for a player with his skill, he can absolutely take over a game. Doesn't feel like he's done that of late. Considering how important he is to the team, don't the Caps need more from him?
Absolutely. It's funny also to listen to Barry Trotz. You can tell he's trying to tell him that when we ask him questions about 92 struggling without really going hard after him. And it's funny, coaches, especially coaches like Barry who've been around for a long time, have had a lot of success for a long time, they kind of know how everyone has to be handled differently. And I wonder if Kuznetsov is one of those guys who doesn't take criticism very well or doesn't like to hear it in the press, because Trotz has been very careful not to criticize him the way maybe he would go after someone else.
Right.
But they absolutely have to get more. He's got one goal in the last 12 games. And like you said, you know, he's got four assists in the last six, but I don't remember him. It's not like he's having the kind of impact that when he wants to be, he's the fastest player on the ice, either team. He's got the best hands of anyone on either team,
right?
The best vision of anyone on either team. And when he doesn't play with that focus and desire, he's just a good player who, you know, just isn't quite living up to what he's capable of. And then there's nothing more frustrating as a teammate or as a coach than, you know, the guys they love are guys like Connolly, guys who are maximizing. I know he was a former first-round pick, but, you know, given his body of work, he's maximizing what he's given in terms of ice time, in terms of role on the team. And then you got guys who get a lot of minutes, and sometimes they go through these dry spells, and there's nothing more frustrating because we know what a dialed-in Kuzi can do.
Right.
And if they can somehow figure a way to get a full 82 games out of a player that's got his otherworldly type talent, you're talking about a guy who can put up 115 points.
Yeah, absolutely.
He can be an Art Ross guy. I don't know if he's ever gonna be a Richard Trophy guy. Maybe. I don't know. He's got a great shot. I don't know if you're ever going to get – because he just loves to pass. But you're talking about a guy who could put up 30 goals and 80 assists because he's got the talent around him to set up. But he goes through these dozen game, you know, lulls where there just isn't a whole lot there. And look, like anyone, and people forget this because, you know, we're kind of in our kind of 9-to-5 day-to-day jobs. Everyone goes, oh, pro athletes. They're humans like everyone else. They get bored. They go through stretches where they don't feel great. Other things are going on. I don't know what's going on there, but maybe he's kind of pacing himself, knowing that the stretch run begins on the other side of the All-Star break, and that's where things really start to matter. But if someone can figure out how to get him engaged on a night-to-night basis, you're talking about a guy who could be an MVP in this league.
Absolutely. This is a guy with 4 points in his last six games, and we're calling it a slump. That's his level of talent.
Yeah.
And you said it right. He may have 4 points in his last six games, but you haven't noticed him. It's almost effortless the way he can affect the game. And so the fact that he's had minimal impact in the last few games, that's not good enough. The Caps absolutely need more from him. This is an MVP caliber player. We haven't seen it yet this year. We've seen it in spurts in the past, but we haven't seen it consistently. And for the Caps to get to where they want to go this year, he needs to be that MVP caliber player.
It's also crazy that we're having this discussion about the guy who's second on the team in points,
right,
of the first place team in the hardest division.
Right.
That just, again, speaks to how much he is capable of doing.
Right.
So, yeah, I know some, you know, Kuznetsov fans are probably out there going, they're riding him hard. He's playing okay right now. You know what? When you are DSP or you're Alex Chason or, you know, you're one of these other kind of role players, you can kind of have these, dry spells or, you know, the expectations just aren't what they are for this guy.
Right.
And like I said, there is nothing more frustrating to a coach and to a teammate and to a general manager and to an owner and probably to some fans out there than when you go, that guy right there should be controlling the ice every single game, and sometimes it looks like he's not there.
Right.
Sometimes he's not fully engaged because everyone has seen it. It's funny, just a little story. You know, I do this with my own kid. You know, when he has like a couple of bad games, or he has a really good game, I should say, I'll tell him. I'll be like, you know what? You screwed up today. And he's like, what do you mean? I had two goals and an assist. You screwed up because now I saw what you can do when you're good. So when you have these floaty games over the weekend, now I'm going to be able to compare the two.
Yep.
And I'm going to wonder what happened between that guy and that guy. And I'm sure that's, you know, on a much smaller scale, that's probably what goes through Trotz's head is, I know what you can do when you're on your game. How come it's not there every night? So
if you want to hear your question read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it in to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. The next podcast is a mailbag podcast, so be sure to get those questions in. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. We say it every week, but if you're listening to us right now and you haven't rated us, you haven't subscribed, you haven't given us a review, just take the time to do it. It really does help us out. That's it for today. Enjoy the All-Star break, everyone. For Tarik El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.